This is Seattle Sports Station.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
If you're heading out to the ballpark today, make sure you're checking out Edgar's Cantina. That is where Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton are going to be for Wyman and Bob today with you from 2 to 6 leading into the Mariners pregame show. Make sure you're stopping by, saying hi to everybody there. They would love to see you down at the ballpark. And don't forget, if you haven't heard, the Seattle chapter of WISE, that's Women in Sports and Events, wants to recognize a woman in our community through this new program called the Women of Inspiration Award. Do you know a woman that gives her all to the sports and events community? It's time to celebrate her. Learn more at womenofinspiration.org. Ryan Roland-Smith, that's him to my left. I'm Curtis Rogers with you, filling in today, getting you set for this weekend series against the Angels. Mariners taking on them in game two of the series. By the way, don't miss the debut of Bump and Stacy this coming Monday, the new midday show airing weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. But, Ryan, I was inspired last night by the performance of Steph Curry, who continues to rack up championships, even after I think everybody kind of thought the Warriors' title window had closed, where they had won the three with Durant and Curry and Klay Thompson. And Klay Thompson gets hurt. Draymond Green isn't as good as he used to be. Steph Curry, you wonder if he can carry a team by himself. He answered all those questions last night, winning Finals MVP. And just looking at the totality of his career, as much as he has won, I think his ultimate impact on the NBA is how he has changed the way the game has been played, where you are nothing in the NBA if you can't shoot threes anymore, or if you can't shoot threes at all. All five positions now, you have to be able to shoot the basketball the way, or at least at an effective clip.
Right.
And it got me wondering, who are some of the biggest game changers today in sports? Because what Curry has done to the game of basketball not only has impacted professional basketball, but also youth basketball too, where you don't have to be 7 feet tall anymore to know that you can have a future in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too. You're talking about some of these. Now, by the way, the best athletes, I think, on the planet. The first time I ever went to an NBA game, I was just floored. I spent the entire game just going, how are those guys that size moving that fast, that athletic, and how they can shoot that way? So you mentioned Steph Curry, who, you know, is in amongst that. But, you know, obviously the guy who we get a chance, and I say this all the time, if you have this generation – in baseball, we'll kick it off with this guy. Go pay the money to go down to T-Mobile Park to watch this guy play. I know he's playing against your Mariners. Shohei Ohtani is a once-in-a-lifetime type player. Not because he does both. It's because how he does both. It's insane. I was watching him pitch last night. I was just, again, I'm just blown away.
Six shutout innings.
And
by the way, he hit 40 home runs last year.
The way he does it, and the fact that being a two-way player at that level, it's not a situation where he is showing up and he can hold his own. No. He's doing both at an elite level. And even the last weekend of the season, I'm sitting there watching, and you know, the Mariners came down to that one game, and they got eliminated by East Coast teams anyway. But I'm sitting there going, man, look at this guy. Like, because I was down watching the game in the seats with my kids. I kept telling my three-year-old, pay attention, and he's looking for the Mariner Moose. There is nothing like Shohei Ohtani, and it's made an impact too. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to see guys get drafted as two-way players. I think there's three right now in the minor leagues that are up and coming. And, no offense to these guys, they're never going to be at that elite level on both. Just not going to happen. And now, all of a sudden, the 2021 draft, there's three or four guys they're drafting as a two-way player.
You're in the throes of youth baseball with the camps that you run and mm-hmm. just being around a lot of young baseball players, are we going to see a lot more two-way players? Have you come across a wave of two-way players based off of Shohei Ohtani and maybe to a lesser extent those other guys that have decided to go both ways? I think Brendan McKay was one with the Rays.
Right.
I think there's another guy. I think there's another guy in the Angels system that goes both ways.
Yeah, there's a shortstop. There's a shortstop slash right-handed pitcher with I'm trying to think who it is, but who's pretty talented. But I keep looking and thinking, are they going to be at that level? So you asked me about youth baseball. So one thing I do is I get you know, Australian kids, I'm starting to do that here in the States. I help them getting recruited into college programs. And you go back 3 years ago, and a lot of the, you know, every kid who's a stud on their team, they play shortstop and they hit fourth. You know what I mean? So when you go to these big schools, Oregon State, for example, I just had a kid, a sophomore from Australia, commit to Oregon State. And he's a left-handed pitcher, Oscar Hyde, and he's playing center field. Well, the question is, well, is he going to pitch or hit? That was 3 years ago. Now it's like, hey, can you do both? Can you do both at a high level? A lot of that is because now all of a sudden you're watching Shohei Ohtani give value to both, and they're like, hey, he can come in. And obviously, look, Marco Gonzalez was a two-way player. But there's way more of an emphasis and value of saying, okay, Oscar Hyde can now come in, and if he can hit with these other guys and he can pitch, we love it. So it's different. I love to – I always say this. If you're a young player and you're 15 years old, you've got to do both. If you want to really understand the game, if you want to pitch and understand how to get hitters out, how hitters are thinking, go hit. Go take rips in the batting cage. Go see that ball yourself. It helps you as a pitcher. When I got a chance to actually have a couple at bats unsuccessfully in the big leagues for the first time, it helped me pitching wise because I knew what they were looking at. It kind of gave me a visual.
Yeah, and I mean, when you see these athletes operate, it is one of those moments where you have to stop and just truly soak in all that you're seeing because it's unlike anything you've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. I think in the NFL, probably the best example maybe ever is Tom Brady. Yeah. Now, his skill set is replicable in that he's a traditional pocket passer, and we've seen a lot of pocket passers, but what he has accomplished in his career will never be matched, and it has changed not just how the position is played, but how you evaluate talent in that league, how you evaluate the true measure of a player's success is always, you're always comparing them to Tom Brady, where he's got 7 Super Bowl rings, where I think the next highest number for a single player is like 4.
Yeah.
He's got 5 Super Bowl MVPs. He's won so many games. He's set every record imaginable. He's 45 years old and still playing in the NFL.
It's insane.
It is. It absolutely is. And he has changed the game of football forever. And we're never going to look at quarterbacks that same way. And for all 3 of these guys to be playing at the same time is incredible because, look, these kinds of athletes only come around, like you said, once in a generation, or in Shohei Ohtani's case, once in maybe a century, because the last guy to do it at this level that he's doing it at, Babe Ruth, who was, you know, pre-Great Depression era.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's also the element of the athleticism, too, and the defense he plays as well. It's not just, hey, he can hit a bomb, and we saw it last night, he can run. So it's not like he can hit a home run and punch out 10 dudes. He's such a good athlete, and he does that at that high level. I do want to throw out, they're not athletes right now, but I do want to throw out a couple names of guys who have changed baseball. And I want to give a big shout out, Tom House, right? You mentioned Tom Brady.
Pitching guru.
The pitching, mate. This guy, I got a chance to work with him for 5 years, and he was at the early stages. Now you see driveline baseball. Now, driveline down the street, I've spent some time there the last couple of weeks. I had a kid come over he's gone to Stanford University as a shortstop, so he went down there to hit. So I got a chance to spend a good week down the driveline. Amazing, amazing facility. It's stuff that I just pull my hair out I didn't have 10 years ago, or excuse me, 15 years ago. But when I met Tom House, I met him when I was really struggling, right? I was having a tough year. Everything that Tom House did back then has evolved into the generation of pitching you see now. Guys throwing 100, a lot of that comes, and Tom Brady, he was instrumental with Tom Brady in his career, and some of these other, you know, Drew Brees even resurrecting his career as well. What Tom House, the way he viewed and went about pitching and some of the things to not only build velocity, but to maintain it for 6 months of a season, the way he looked at ball behavior, this is pre-TrackMan, this is pre-any of that stuff. It was revolutionary. And a lot of the things you see now, all these other pitching gurus you see, all these guys that you see in the big leagues, a lot of it stems from the way he changed baseball. So I've got to give him a definite shout out. Tom House absolutely changed the game, especially, you know, from my background from pitching, 100%. Another shout out I want to give real quick. You talk about changing a sport, and Hopefully she doesn't get forgotten. But Lauren Jackson, my fellow Aussie, good buddy of mine.
Storm legend.
Man, she, yeah, if it wasn't for injuries and stuff and yeah, other stuff, whatever going on.
I believe she's trying to come back and play right now.
Yeah, but not at like a WNBA level. She's just kind of hanging out. But when she came, I think she was a three-time MVP or three or four maybe. But man, she changed the game because she was from a women's sporting point of view, and obviously Sue Bird's had that longevity, but when Lauren did, she did everything, man. I mean, she could, you mentioned shooting. She was big in the middle. She could rebound like no one else. So I got to give her a shout out to being here in Seattle as well.
Well, and to that point, the 206 Texan Brianna Stewart of the Storm is a once in a lifetime talent. Obviously. Yeah. I mean, you look at what she has won in her career at UConn, four straight national championships. I believe she won three Final Four Most Outstanding Players, already has two WNBA championships to her name. I believe she's only 26, 27 years old. I mean, she has accomplished an absurd amount. Gold medalist. I mean, the fact that we get to see her night in and night out here in this town, I mean, it's incredible to watch what she has done to the women's game. And, you know, hopefully the Storm can re-sign her after this season because I know she signed a one-year deal. But, yeah, I mean, just – another name, Simone Biles in gymnastics. That's another one where people can't do what she does.
No,
and you just kind of chalk it up to like, yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
All the other gymnasts are like, I can't replicate what she can do.
Yeah. It's I love it when these athletes too, and they, or this way of training takes whatever their discipline is to that level. Now everyone has to figure out how to catch up. And I'll go back to that with the pitching side of things too. When Tom sort of was really prevalent, he's been prevalent forever, but when his whole – put it this way, man. I used to do weighted balls back in – like I used to throw weighted baseballs back in, you know, 2011, 2000. I had to go hide from the pitching coordinator or my pitching coach. There is no way – they're like, you're going to blow your arm out. You're crazy. The only way I was able to crawl back into the big leagues, I had to get my velo back. I was sitting 88, 91. I had to, all of a sudden, getting on his program and doing everything he did, I was just a different guy. And that was only a speck of some of the impact he had on all these other players as well and everything that came from that. And obviously Driveline have took it and ran with it. But just little when you see a group or a coach or a certain athlete take it to this level and then everyone else has to catch up or change what they do, Otani doing two things, or you know Tom Brady having that longevity and changing the way the game's played, it's awesome to watch. So I will say, get down to T-Mobile for sure to pay attention, to witness what we're seeing.
Absolutely. Let's get to Headline Rewrites brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number one, the Golden State Warriors crowned NBA champions after beating the Boston Celtics 4-2 last night. Real headline, if Steph Curry ever figures this basketball thing out, Golden State could be really, really good.
They could be good. You know what? He actually tweeted out in 2009. I remember I retweeted it and said, hey, you know, we're going to turn this thing around. I'm still not sure if I've quite seen it yet. They've had some success, but hey, maybe. Who knows?
They've won a couple of championships. They've done a couple of things right over the last few years. And we had talked about just kind of the chain of events that had to happen in order for this Warriors dynasty to come together. We mentioned the Andrew Bogut trade that sort of was a jumping off point. How about this one, too? Steve Kerr nearly became the head coach of the New York Knicks. He was deciding whether to become the Knicks head coach or the Warriors head coach. Both teams had kind of allowed the coaching carousel to settle down and had made their final offer to Steve Kerr. And Kerr nearly chose the New York Knicks because Phil Jackson at the time was the team president of New York. And obviously they have a lot of history together with Kerr playing for Phil Jackson when they were with the Chicago Bulls. If Kerr picks the Knicks, what happens?
Right.
And then like same with Steph Curry. If he gets drafted by the Knicks who had the pick prior to Golden State, I mean, there is just a wild amount of just crazy happenstances along the way in order to make this dynasty happen.
Yeah, I think it's so much it's so much more magnified when you mention a Steve Kerr, when you mention a Steph Curry. Mention now again, I'm not you know placing Andrew Bogut to be the big reason for the ascension of this.
Oh, he is.
But he sold a lot of jerseys, a lot of Steph Curry jerseys actually back in Australia, that's for sure. But basketball is that game where obviously five guys on the court and the roster size is so small, so all these things get so magnified, as opposed to obviously football, baseball, where you've got these giant rosters where it's completely different.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, the city of Seattle named a host city for the 2026 World Cup. Real headline, those classic fish throwing videos will hit a little different with third world countries watching.
Listen, you gotta hit up the Space Needle. It throws all that nice, what's it called? The scenic shot of the Space Needle.
Shots from Kerry Park where you see the classic skyline
exactly.
Shot.
There you go. Just throw a bunch of that.
Gasworks Park.
But the fish throwing, again, when I say, I play baseball in the U.S., this is back in Australia. I know Australia's not a third world country, but it is way outside the radar when you're talking about sports in Seattle. And they say, that's where they throw the fish. Boom. It's on every travel channel. That's right. They switch it up.
Now, to turn it around, here in Seattle, we always roll our eyes when we see that. You being from Australia, what are those that B-roll footage of your home country, what are the sights and sounds that you see that you're just like, okay, there's more to Australia than just this?
Well, you got the Sydney Opera House, Harbour Bridge in the background, just that nice little pan shot of that. Then you have the kangaroo out in the middle of nowhere. I love it, too, how they go, like, if you're traveling there, if I go to Sydney, I'm just going to see this kangaroo, too, by the way. Like, they're in the same spot. I mean, Australia, the size is the same as the U.S. You see, what else you see? You see maybe someone surfing, you know, like a Bondi beach.
But usually kangaroos.
Exactly.
The outback.
Exactly. And you get the shot of the koala, too. So you do see, the Opera House, followed by the kangaroo, followed by the beach, someone surfing or whatever, and then off you go. But, hey, listen, I'm not rolling my eyes at that. It does make me homesick. I get a tear in my eye, especially June. What's going on with this weather, too? I want to get home. What's happening?
This weather's disgusting this time of year. Mike Lefko, producer of Wyman and Bob. You also can hear him on the Mariners pre- and post-game sometimes. He tweeted just a little bit ago, like, what am I doing wearing layers on June 17th? It's this weather is garbage.
Headline rewrites.
Although I think it does beat this time last year when it was, 115 outside, 110 here in Seattle. No, thank you.
You know what? I'll take a 115.
Just to make you feel alive.
Exactly. Just to make sure I know that we're all okay.
Headline number three: Phil Mickelson has missed the cut at the U.S. Open, shooting a plus 11 through the first two rounds. Real headline: he also has missed a few payments to his bookies. I mean.
That's right. Now, is he betting on himself a lot? That's what I want to know. But
is he allowed to?
This is not a PGA event. There's so much drama. He is under the pump right now with everyone. So, no surprise whatsoever. I'm not just saying because it's a psychological thing where he's caught up in everything that's going on with everything he has to deal with. But, was he supposed to after everything that's been going on? With everything he's been dealing with or what?
Well, I think a lot of people were looking at him competing in the U.S. Open. It's the only major he hasn't won. So maybe there was some added motivation from him to perform well this weekend in hopes to accomplish that career major. But with all the distractions that he has going on right now and just the bad press that he has gotten, I'm not stunned at all that he put in this kind of performance over the weekend.
Yeah, he's got some debts to pay off, that is for sure.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, boy.
He's got 200 mil, whatever it is.
I think he's feeling quite all right even after carding a plus 11 through two rounds. Right now, the leaderboard tie atop David Lingmerth, Callum Tarrant at minus 4. Through about 10 holes today, those two guys have been atop the leaderboard or near the top of the leaderboard through the first couple rounds. By the way, you do not want to miss the debut of Bump and Stacey this coming Monday. Seattle Sports' new midday show airing weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Seattle Sports Station featuring Michael Bumpus and Stacey Rost. I'll be alongside those two producing the whole thing. You do not want to miss that. That starts Monday, this coming Monday. Ryan Roland-Smith and myself, we're with you until 2 o'clock today. Now, normally we do NFL headlines around 12:30, but since we've got you, Ryan, let's take a look at some of the biggest headlines in Major League Baseball with some MLB headlines coming your way next. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
How fortuitous, Ryan. We were talking about Justin Upton earlier in the show. Mariners are bringing him up. They are bringing up Justin Upton from Tacoma to face his old team, the LA Angels. And the corresponding move, Sam Haggerty, has been optioned to AAA Tacoma. So, Justin Upton's here.
They're listening to us, right?
Yeah.
They got some good points. Up he goes.
I hope that they weren't taking roster advice from us. If they were, it's flattering, but who knows. But we have Justin Upton with the Mariners starting tonight, 34 years old, outfielder. He'll be wearing number 8. Ryan, he batted 200 in AAA, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, 6 walks in 12 games. What are your expectations for him? Because I got to be honest, I'm not expecting the world from him.
Neither am I, and I don't think we should. I think you bring him up, and if he offers some production right away, and then all of a sudden something clicks, awesome. But we talked about this earlier. Now, first of all, I don't want to look at this and say, well, he was just quote-unquote getting his work in AAA. No. When you're in a situation like Justin Upton was, you have scuffled the last couple of years. You've been DFA'd in the midst of a huge deal. Wherever you go next, AAA, AA, Mars, doesn't matter. You go there and you have to go and earn it and tear it up. So this is interesting. The fact he's, 211, a couple home runs. Oh, excuse me, that was his year with the Angels. He's hitting, what you mentioned, 200, 2 home runs, not a whole lot. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Hopefully something clicks. Hopefully he gets around the right teammate or coach or something, and something clicks and off he goes.
And maybe this is the veteran presence that this team needs right now. Getting to the corresponding move, they sent Sam Haggerty down. Are you surprised it's him and maybe not Abraham Toro?
Not really. I think that, that's kind of that piece you have where you have a Sam Haggerty where you can send him out. You don't have to. There's no situation where there's all of a sudden a threat of DFA or anything like that where you're going to lose him. He's on that shuttle bus from back and forth to AAA. He can come back up, etc. So I'm not too surprised about that. But when you talk about making a statement, sure. Like if they sent Abraham Toro down to AAA or DFA'd him or something, that would be more of that statement like, hey, listen, team, you guys are going to start putting up some numbers or you're not going to be here.
So that is the move of the hour. Justin Upton called up to the Mariners. They have sent Sam Haggerty down. Let's look at some of the other headlines around Major League Baseball. John Heyman, a favorite of Mariners fans of the New York Post, is reporting other Major League Baseball owners not happy with Oakland A's ownership for pocketing their revenue sharing money and undergoing a fire sale. Now, the A's, they made no bones about their offseason plans, shipping away just about anybody with talent at the Major League level. Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Chris Bassett. Frankie Montas probably will get traded at some point this year. The A's just playing by their own rules. Are you surprised to hear, though, Ryan, that other owners are getting fed up with the A's and kind of how they do business?
Well, there's two ways to look at this. Number one, first of all, take a look in the mirror to all of the MLB owners around the league, because you have essentially the only major sport where you can come out and basically say, oh, yeah, look, we're rebuilding. We're waving the white flag. Okay, I understand the NFL has that to an extent, but nothing like Major League Baseball, where you have a good chunk, whether it's 50% or even potentially 60% of your team, basically say, oh, we're rebuilding. We're going to try this little 5-year or 3-year plan out, which is insane. That's something that wasn't addressed at the last CBA. During the lockout, they didn't address that. The one thing I was glad baseball got back, but I looked at this and said they have not addressed at all anything to do with the tanking stuff from these teams. The A's are in a holding pattern. Look, of course they're in a situation now, and when I say holding pattern, they're with their stadium, the location, they don't know where they're going to be in 2 years. So I can't see him doing anything different, to be honest with you. I mean, what are you going to do? Of course you're going to strip it down right now. You don't know what's going to happen as far as your ownership or what's going to happen with your front office or anything. You know what? We're going to strip it back, figure this thing out, and wait out and see where we're going to be in 2 years. They might be in Vegas in 2 years. I've got no idea. It's a mess over in Oakland.
Yeah, I do not envy fans of the A's, especially right now, where the future of your franchise is at stake. You hope that they're able to stay in the Bay Area, and there seems to be a little bit of progress made towards potentially building a new stadium, but They're running out of time. 2024 is when that lease expires. They've proposed a new ballpark on the water there in Oakland. So you hope that cooler heads prevail and they're able to stay, because we've seen the Raiders leave Oakland. The Warriors moved across the bay to San Francisco. The A's are the only team left in town. And just speaking from an AL West perspective, the A's are synonymous with Oakland, at least in our lifetimes.
And the surrounding area, too. Yeah. Talking to Dallas Braden, who is the color analyst for the Oakland A's now, talking to Grant Balfour, one of my best friends who played there. They have a unique fan base, but it extends more. When you look at that and go, well, Oakland, I mean, how is that a major city? But when you talk about the Bay Area, they have a very unique but such a strong fan base, and I really feel for that fan base.
Absolutely. Also, in Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred spoke this week, and he was not very hopeful about the possibility of robot umps in Major League Baseball by next season. Says it's unlikely we'll see those by the 2023 season. Ryan, you being a former pitcher, what do you think about robot umps? Is it time that we start getting some help, or is there a... Is it good that there is human influence on baseball?
It is good there's a human influence. Now, let me finish this point before you start rolling your eyes or honking your horn in absolute madness, because umpires right now are under a really crazy microscope. With the technology, from a broadcasting standpoint, with social media, the umpires score, you can see, you can follow them on social media, all these things, the umpires are under a lot of pressure right now. There is a solution which meets both the human and the robotic element in the middle. I heard this. We had a meeting with some of the rule changes with Major League Baseball. One of the things they're testing out is, I love this, man. I'm all for this solution. And it's obviously not going to happen next year, but in the future, this is what they need to do. Basically, the human umpire calls balls and strikes, yet they have an earpiece which can correct them and give them what the robot or whatever the laser system, whatever they use, gave them. So what they can do, if they want, if they're unsure, they can pause for a second and go off what the machine gives them. Now, with this, the players still have a challenge. The hitter or the catcher, I believe maybe the pitcher as well, they have to do it right away. Kind of like tennis. You know, when that ball, they call it out and it's actually in, and they quickly challenge it. It's like a split-second decision. The hitter can say, I want to challenge that. Now, the thing is, if he does that and he's wrong, they lose the challenge for the rest of the game. I like this system because it marries both of them together, and all of a sudden you still have that human element. You can still have the arguments with the hitter and the umpire, and you still have some of the inconsistencies which baseball needs. They need more of that human element in the game. They're losing a ton of it. So if they can have this system where it marries both together, I love it. So I don't see this. Obviously, I knew this was going to be the fact. 2023, it's too close for them to figure it out.
Yeah, and then pitch clocks are coming, right?
Yeah.
I think that's next 100%. Year, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And someone actually on the text line asked me about, I mentioned the shift as well. Obviously, that's coming, but I am looking forward to that too. I've bought in on the shift rule, but I love the pitch clock rule, not because I want baseball to speed up. I just like the tempo, and it just adds that extra element for sure.
And then finally, in this segment of MLB headlines, by the way, this hour is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino, Aaron Judge. He of his 25 home runs on a pace for close to 60 this season says he will pass on participating in the Home Run Derby. The Home Run Derby the last few years has been really competitive, especially since they added a clock and has made
fun to watch.
It's made it for sure. A must-see event again, back now that there's a time limit and you don't have to sit and watch guys take ball after ball after ball after ball in hopes of getting 10 outs. But, man, how awesome would it have been to see Aaron Judge participate in the Home Run Derby? I mean, we talk about faces of the game and game-changing athletes. Well, I would say Aaron Judge is one of the probably two or three most popular players in the league, especially since he's the face of the Yankees. Kind of a bummer not to see him in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, you mentioned Rob Manfred. I'm sure he's upset about this. Not that everyone's a big fan of him. But, no, I'm with you, man. Come on, just get in there. I know it wears you out. I don't know, because if you ever hit the batting cages recently, but when you take a I have, seeing where I'm at, but it's exhausting. Your hands start to,
you start getting blisters on your hands.
Changes your swing, everything else. But come on, man. I mean, get in there, dude. You're on a pace, like you said, to 60-plus bombs. Get in there and Give the people what they want. Let's go. Forget about it. It's not going to mess with your swing. You can take a breather and play in the All-Star game the next day and then have a couple of days off to go do whatever and get back into it. Let's go. Come
Those on. Are some of the biggest headlines in Major League Baseball here on this Friday. Now, Ryan, you're a dad. I'm a dad. It's Father's Day weekend. And we're going to have some fun in our next segment because as dads, we tend to do things a little differently than others. And it just comes with the territory. What was the most dad thing you have done over the last year? We want to hear from you on the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. Ryan's going to tell you his. I'm going to tell you mine. We want to hear from you as well because, dads, this is our weekend, and let's face it, we're a little weird. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. And the cats in the
cradle and the silver spoon. Nice touch, Matt Nelson.
Love it.
It is Father's Day weekend.
Hey, real quick, just on this song. Do you realize Ugly Kid Joe? Do you remember Ugly Kid Joe?
No.
Oh, no. All right. Ugly Kid Joe did a cover of this. Now, if you're listening and you're texting in, tell me you know about Ugly Kid Joe. Look them up. They did a cover of this, and I said, I love this song. And my parents were like, no, this isn't their song. I was like, yes, it is. I remember as a kid arguing because I love this song. And then they played this. I was like, oh, okay, this is the real deal. Check out Ugly Kid Joe if you get a chance. Great 90s band.
All right. Yeah, that's a little before my era.
Right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're young, aren't you? Yeah, you actually told me a story when you were a kid at
Mariners Fan Fest. Well, no joke. When I was probably, I don't know, 14 or 15 years old, I went to Mariners Fan Fest with my dad.
Don't try and sugarcoat. You were younger. Let's go.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Yeah. I went to Mariners Fan Fest with my dad, and we were thrown in the bullpen. And none other than one Ryan Roland Smith was there as a player, you know, big hot shot, like, yeah, I'm a Mariner. Like,
just big league.
What of it? Yeah. And, like, I thought it was pretty cool. I was like, oh, man, that's Ryan Roland Smith. Like, and now here we are years later hosting a show together.
About to do a dad segment. How about that?
Yeah. How about that? Now, Ryan, I couldn't help but notice on your Twitter page, @-18, a day or two ago, you posted a picture of your car's trunk loaded to the brim of playground mulch?
Yes, the little wood pieces. Yes.
That's maybe one of the most dad photos I've ever seen.
Right.
You got to walk us through why so much mulch.
So, we are setting up the first of all, we bought a house a couple months ago and my wife and I said, "Listen, we're going to get the full-on play set, like the big one, you know, for the kids out the back. We're going to go hard here." Well, we have a bit of a slant, right? So I said, listen, we've got to level this out. My wife's like, I don't think we do. I'm like, no, we've got to level this bad boy out. So here I am doing a DIY leveling job, which is just pathetic. It's just absolute. And Costco, by the way, where I bought the playset from, you guys aren't liable, put it that way, if something goes down with this playset with safety, because it is not level, that is for sure. And then we just filled in. I was out there with a shovel looking like a complete just no idea. And then we ended up filling it in, trying to level it out with this mulch. So 90 bags. We have got 90 Ooh. Bags of this mulch. So I've had to do trip after trip, loading that puppy in. But you want to talk about dad moments, mate. In that Lowe's up the street, just need another round. And the guy's looking at me like, man, you're getting after it. What are you building?
Do you know what you're doing?
No idea. No idea. We're you know, look, it's a bit of a mess. But it's a war zone in that backyard right now.
I appreciate the classic headstrong dad approach to this that you have. Like, no, I'm doing this. Like, we're DIYing it myself. Look, that's just the territory that comes with being a dad. We asked prior to the break, what is the most dad thing you have done in the last year? We've got a couple of really good texts coming in. From the 360, they said, going down the lawn care / mowing rabbit hole on YouTube. My kids and wife now call the lawn my girlfriend. Lawn care, so important.
I mowed my first lawn recently. I'm a little ashamed to admit that.
Wow.
I loved it. I'm just waiting for that thing to grow out a little bit so I can hit it up again. I loved it. I got to say, it's what was I thinking? I should have taken that chore when I was a kid.
There is a satisfying feeling about a perfectly mowed lawn, and especially one that you have mowed yourself. I did lawn mowing in the neighborhood that I grew up in when I was a teenager.
Oh, so you're a pro.
Yeah, well, you know, just the old Toro mower. We're pushing it by hand. We don't need a riding lawnmower. 253 says, do all my jokes count as the most dad thing ever? Of course. I mean, dad jokes, that comes with the territory too. And then another one, this one from Ryan in the 253 said, told my buddies I'm going to be late for a day on the boat because I need to mow the lawn. Again, lawn care.
That's dad territory.
So important.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan, I mean, you're in the throes of this DIY project and building the playground for your kids. What is the most dad thing you did this last year?
Oh, man, where do I begin? You mentioned the dad jokes, just trying to blow minds with some of the dad jokes from here and there. But I've got to say, man, nothing tops what's happening in the backyard right now. Nothing tops that at all. That's where I went full steam ahead. Put it this way, we've been looking for a house forever. Now that I actually have a house where I can start going into full dad mode, that's exactly what I've done. I haven't gone to some of the lengths where I'm like, the dad's chair where I've got the remote control Velcro to the side table or anything like that. I'm not there yet with the headphones, like the Bluetooth headphones that only you can watch your programming. I'm not quite there yet, but man, I'm reaching for it. That's for sure.
I think my most dad moment now. There are certain TV shows out there that are programmed for dads. And it's shows that are like on the History Channel, shows that are on like the Discovery Channel, shows where you might be able to learn something along the way. And for me, that show is Pawn Stars on the History Channel. Chumlee, Big Hoss, you've got all the guys. Mark from the Clark County Museum. That curator, I love that show. I love it so much to the point that I bought a shirt online of the Gold and Silver Pawn Shop logo. It's just a t-shirt, and I wear that with pride probably once a week.
Is it coming out on Sunday?
It might. Yeah, sure. I'll wear it on Sunday. And
are you going to get the best out of it, ill-fitting t-shirt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And those are great, too. I love growing up, I never quite understood the appeal of those like kitschy shirts that dads would wear, like number one dad. But being a dad now, I get it. Like it's the greatest thing. A few other great texts coming in. Josh in the 206 says, "I grounded my neighbor's kid for acting a fool in the street. He appealed to his dad, and the grounding held up. Huge dad win. Shout out to Josh in the 206."
That's big.
Seth in Fresno says, "Woke up at 6 a.m. on Saturday, drinking my coffee, stepped out back and stated, it's a good-looking lawn to myself."
I like it.
425, "I put a lock on the thermostat." The battle for the indoor temperature.
Wow.
That is a never-ending battle.
He's hacked into the thermostat, basically, and done some IT genius. Hacked that puppy and locked it up. I love it. Now you can hear, this is Ugly Kid Joe. Here's the version right now.
All right.
I love it. Matt Nelson just digging that up. Love it. Hey, do we have the rights to this song? Like, let's make sure.
We don't need to worry about that. Coming up next, we dive into Robbie Ray. Can he build off of his last start that he had against the Boston Red Sox? More to come. He's Ryan Roland Smith. I'm Curtis Rogers. We're filling in today. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 in the Seattle Sports app. And the catch of